at the 300. Lura Main Hawkshot grabbed by Elise and Mystic Journey. Elise on the outside, Mystic Journey a neck away, and Lura Main's going with them. A grandstand finish. Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is what dreams are made of. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star Mile, a length and a quarter. Photo second. Hartnell and Elise.
There's no doubt she is what dreams are made of. And for Adam Trinder, what another stellar moment. Not long after winning his first Group 1 in the Australian Guineas, he has won a $5 million race. And the win was even more awe-inspiring. Adam Trinder joins us now. Morning, Adam. You've had a day or two to let it settle in. Can you still believe what your bonny little filly has been able to achieve?
No, not really, Michael. She keeps, we keep raising the bar, and she keeps well and truly clearing it. She's back home now in a usual environment, pulled up really well. But to look at her at home, she's only a little black uncomplicated filly, but she's just got heart and demeanour. She just keeps galloping.
Well, she displayed that in spades on Saturday. Three wide, no cover, up against the best horses we've got outside of Winx to put her to, and she ran away from him the last 100. What was going through your mind during the race?
So I was a little bit concerned that she was... We knew she'd be in the three wide line from her barrier there. We were just hopeful that it'd be three wide and we'd be able to get cover when she was three wide without cover, having to do all the work and carve them up. I said to Dharma they weren't making a lot of winning ground on the day. I said, make sure she's there to present on the corner so she hasn't got too big a task, which he was able to achieve. But just through the run that she had in transit, while she looked really comfortable, I thought, well, the long Flemington straight just may take its toll the last 100, but she was fantastic. She just kept galloping and she was as strong as anything on the line, and even a furlong past the post, nothing had still got past her. So I think they had their opportunity.
That was the most amazing part, her strength at the finish, how she actually was racing away from the likes of Elise Le Romaine, who are bona fide Group 1 gallopers, and yet this was just her 13th start. How much more improvement, how much better can she get, do you think?
So it's going to be really interesting to see. She improves every time we race her, and she races in better company every time we race her as well. So if we were keeping her in the same grade, we'd probably see a bigger improvement once again, because the assignments have got harder each time, but the wins have become better. So she's only a baby. She's only 3.5, and as I've always stated, I feel she's on an upward spiral. We haven't seen the base of her or anywhere near it as yet. So we'll protect her and see her to where she can end up. She's taking the right progression.
I know you've always had huge confidence in her, but did you think going back a month even that she would be able to do that to the likes of Hartnell and Elise?
Knew it would be really tough, or felt that it would be really tough. I've got utmost respect for the majority of the field that she raced against there Saturday, but Hartnell was a favourite of mine from an outside and external view. I just love him as a horse. I think he's won over all distance ranges, won in different continents, and he's a genuine Group 1 performer that's earned exceptional prize money. So I stated before the race, weight for age condition, she got him really well at the weight scale with only 54 kilos on her back, but I thought she'd need to as well, racing bona fide tough, hard season Group 1 horses. But to see her go there and do it, we had a little bit of expectation heading into the Australian Guineas, obviously, but whilst this didn't have Group 1 status, I thought it was another step up in class once again, and we continue to challenge her, obviously, but she thrives on it. She just keeps coming to the plate.
You've had good horses in the past, but when did you realise that you had a potential Group 1 galloper?
Probably not realistically until the spring of last year. She won the list of Jim Maloney there, and I thought she was fantastic. But I didn't at the time. I didn't think that she was ready for a Group 1 assignment. So we just raised the bar, but just kept her a grade below and ran her in the Group 2 there on Cox Plate Day. And once again, she was fantastic there. And off the back of that, I thought she'll win a Group 1 this filly. I'd be disappointed if she didn't. Didn't really know where that Group 1 would be. We mapped out a program for her for this preparation with the Australian Guineas, our first major assignment. But we had a backup plan there. Should she not have been able to step up to Group 1 company in the autumn in Melbourne, that we'd take her to Adelaide for the Oaks and try and get a Group 1 through that means. But by gee, she really stacked up and... forward Nolmud. If she can maintain a form, she's definitely deserving of a place in a Cox plate. But as I said, I think she's just going to present a little bit more seasoned and a little bit more improved in the spring of this year.
Well, Moonee Valley's been a happy hunting ground for you and your family. You won the Cox plate of jumps racing, the Hiskins there, like your dad as well. But what does winning a $5 million race do for you?
So I haven't really sat down and thought about that as yet. Probably the same as most of our winning percentages. Most of it will go back into the business, improve infrastructure. Our business is our life. I don't treat it as a job by any means. It's a lifestyle. So Leah and I, we love the training, and we're always diversifying and improving, buying treadmills and the like, or building new stables. So most of it will be absorbed back into the business, I would suggest.
You're on the map Australia-wide now. Everyone knows in the racing game who Adam Trinder is. Could you become too big for Tassie? I know you love Tassie. You're a staunch Tasmanian, but could there be a possibility that you want to expand your business and move to the mainland?
So there's probably a possibility moving forward that we will dip our toe into the water and just set up a satellite stable once we've gathered together enough horses to make it sustainable. I've got a nice team of horses here in Tasmania, but probably realistically, as it stands, only three or four genuine Saturday grade horses in Melbourne. So I'd like to bring a team of probably 10 consistents together, so that we can probably initially start off with half a dozen there full time, and then see as to where it grows. Obviously, if we head down in that direction and it works out successfully, there will be interest come from the mainland clients, so to potentially build itself. But I would suggest it's probably 6 months away in the planning.
What were the celebrations like on Saturday night?
Reasonably tame. They were just starting to ramp up a little bit, and I snuck out the back door at about 10:30. I'd had a big few days and had to be up early to Philly the next day. So, had a nice meal and a couple of quiet celebratory drinks, but I was quite happy to get a little bit of a rest. The pressure was off.
And what about the family response? Your grandfather was involved with Piping Lane, a Melbourne Cup winner. Your father, Michael, a great trainer in his own right, especially in the world of jumps racing. And he hasn't been in the best of health in recent times. How was he with the win on Saturday?
So it really gave him a pick-me-up, I felt. I was speaking with him directly after the race, or 5 minutes after the race, over the phone, obviously, and he was terribly excited and terribly proud. He's only been out of hospital for a week. He had cancer surgery there. He had cancer of the bladder, so they removed his bladder and he was in intensive care. But he's in really good spirits. I went around and saw him Thursday before we left for Melbourne, and he was out and about watering the lawn. So he's in good spirits and in good form. So he should improve, but this has gave him a really big lift.
Oh, that is good to hear. And on a wider scale, what do you think this does for Tassie racing? I saw little Scotty Brunton, who's jumped on the bandwagon. Hell of a streak, ran out of his skin at the moment. Seems to be a real resurgence in the quality of horses in Tasmania. How much do you think Mystic Journey will help put Tassie racing back on the map and maybe increase the funding and the quality of racing in the state?
So I believe that she's gained a lot of interest, and I hope the latter comes to fruition, as you said, sort of the government get behind it. We don't have a point of consumption tax down here, so we're in the same boat as Adelaide in regards to gaining revenue for racing. So hopefully this has brought racing back onto the government's radar in regards to a positive light, but he's definitely brought the people back to the races, or the interest in the races there from the public. I feel at times the Tasmanian community struggles to connect with racing down here, and probably doesn't receive the same exposure as what it does in the mainland states. But this little filly's been in the paper every day for the last month. There's always been something on the news bulletins, and everybody's really connected to her. Dave Manchandon, who does all our media work. She's obviously got her own social media accounts, Mystic Journey, and every time he puts something up, the people just love it. They bounce on it. She gets 5,000 views for any little video snippet that comes up. So yeah, they're really connecting with her, and she's a good news story, and people are taking the positives out of it.
Well, she's a great news story for racing in general, not just in Tasmania as well. And the other great story is Anthony Darmanin, who he would never have thought he'd be riding a Group 1 winner, let alone a winner of a $5 million race. And for you as the trainer, and Wayne, who is the owner that we'll speak to shortly, I suppose there might have been some pressure to stick with Anthony when you would have had some of the best jockeys in Australia ringing up saying, I should be the one to make sure she can win these big races, but you've stuck fat.
Oh, exactly right. Anthony's our stable rider and has been ever since I started training. He's rode all of my big winners here locally. He's won other metropolitan races for me in Melbourne there. So the opportunity remained with him. He'd done nothing wrong and continued to do nothing wrong. So we're very loyal. But that being said, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. So he hadn't done anything to suggest that we need to even contemplate looking outside the square.
Do you think she's the second best horse in Australia?
So for the little black filly that I bought at the yearling sales here 2 years ago, you always reflect back to where they come from, and sort of I'd probably undersell her to a certain extent. So my initial reaction would be no, but what she does race day, it's got to get you thinking. No matter what she races, as I said, every time we race her, she improves. But I think if we kept her in the same grade of race for two races in a row, we'd see a much bigger improvement margin-wise than what we've seen through her races. So, yeah, she's very hard to get past, and she's got heart and determination. So she's got to be ranked in the top handful of horses in Australia anyway.
Well, we can't wait to see her back in the spring. Cox Plate, the ultimate aim. Have you got any kind of early campaign mapped out in the back of your mind?
So uncharted territory for me, obviously, but no, I do have to sit down this week and work out a loose assignment list, sort of as to which way we go. But just through a timing perspective, she obviously won on Cox Plate Day there last year, and she kicked a campaign off the back end of July, which would be a little bit early for her this time around. Just through race programming, there wouldn't be any races available for her in July. So that's going to be the biggest thing, getting the suitable races for a horse of her rating now, to be able to groom her through. And while she was a fortnight between runs into the All-Star Mile, I've always been of the suggestion she operates best off a 3 week minimum, so I'd like to space her racing leading in. But obviously, it does have to fit in with the calendar, so that may be a little bit awkward, but it's a good position to be in.
Well, it certainly is. She is scarily good. 120.5 Greg Carpenter tweeted out yesterday saying the All-Star rated, where the normal Group 1 benchmark is 115. So she's running some incredible figures, and she has in her career so far. And you've handled her beautifully as well. Well done, mate. Enjoy the victory. We look forward to seeing her back in Melbourne in the springtime.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Adam at Trinder.